My voice has changed. Our reading today is taken from Hosea chapter 11, verse 12, and chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, the house of Israel with deceit, and Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One. Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day and multiplies lies and violence. He makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. But you must return to your God. Maintain love and justice and wait for your God always. The merchants use dishonest scales. They love to defraud. Ephraim boasts, I am very rich. I have become wealthy. With all my wealth, they will not find in me any iniquity or sin. I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. I will make you live in tents again, as in the days of your appointed festivals. I spoke to the prophets, gave them many visions, and told parables through them. Is Gilead wicked? Its people are worthless. Do they sacrifice bulls in Gilgal? Their altars will be like piles of stones on a ploughed field. Jacob fled to the country of Aram. Israel served to get a wife, and to pay for her, he tended sheep. The Lord used a prophet to bring Israel up from Egypt. By a prophet, he cared for him. But Ephraim has aroused his bitter anger. His Lord will leave on him the guilt of his bloodshed and will repay him for his contempt. Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. I'd like to invite John up. And I'll just I'll pray for you, John, before you get started. Father God, I want to thank you for the message that John's going to bring us this morning. I want to pray for the word that you want to leave with us through him would settle in our hearts and our minds this morning. Bless this time now. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, John. Good morning. Can you all hear me at the back? Good. When I spoke on Hosea 5 back in February, I entitled the sermon Learn and Turn. I want to entitle today's sermon Look Back and Learn. In chapter 11 and 12, Hosea starts by outlining the ways in which the people of Israel, or Ephraim, have been sinning against God, which have caused God to be angry and disappointed. The prophet makes a great play of the fact that man Israel, after whom the nation is named, was originally named Jacob, which can mean deceiver. He uses that to show the people of Israel that they're now guilty of deceit in four ways. Firstly, against God. In Hosea 11:12, God says, Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, the house of Israel with deceit. Secondly, against the neighbour states where they're double dealing and deceit. In verse 1 of chapter 12, God says, Ephraim makes up multiple lies and uses violence. He makes a treaty with Syria and sends oil to Egypt. Thirdly, against each other. Hosea chapter 12, verse 7, God says, a trader in whose hands are false balances. He loves to oppress. Fourthly, the people even try to deceive themselves. In verse 8 of chapter 12, Ephraim said, Ah, but I am rich. I've gained wealth for myself. God says all his riches can never offset the guilt Ephraim has incurred. The people say they're rich and wealthy. They think they are without sin. They think they're fine. They're doing okay. We're the people of God, they say. There's nothing wrong with us, what we're doing. But Hosea tells them their lives need to be transformed. They deserve complete destruction. But they will not experience this because God loves his people and loves his creation. God gives them chance after chance after chance to come back to him. And Hosea chapter 12, verse 6, God outlines the four things they need to do and the four things we need to do as God's people. Hosea 12, verse 6 sums it up. So you, by the help of your God, firstly return. Secondly, hold fast to love. Thirdly, hold fast to justice. And fourthly, wait on God continually. I thought those four phrases, return, hold fast to love, hold fast to justice, and wait on continue, were good 4 points of the sermon, but they were a bit wordy. So I brought them up to date with modern titles, so that you can remember them. They're all the titles of Beatles songs. Firstly, God says, return to God, or in the words of the Beatles, get back. These words were addressed to people who've known God's love, but they've turned away. They're told to return to God, to get back. Today, we might apply that to those who've become Christians at some points in their lives, who've shown their commitment in some way by being baptized, by being made a member, or confirmed, or whatever. But they've wandered off now to do their own thing. They aren't really interested very much in God at the moment. The first thing to do then is to go back. There's one of the old wayside pulpits posters that reads, If God seems far away to you, guess who's moved? And that's very true. God never leaves us. He's promised that, but we frequently wander away from him. God may indeed be saying to you and me this morning, That's fine. It's time we sorted ourselves out with him. We need to get back. We need to get back with God. God's calling us. God's loving us. He's making the first move again. And we have to respond. Let's get back. Or in the words of the Beatles song. I'm not going to sing it. I can't sing. You'll be pleased to know. Get back. Get back. Get back to where you once belonged. Oh, get back. Get back, get back, oh yeah. Hosea then goes on to suggest three ways on how to live a holy life if we really want to get back to God and show that we mean business with him. Secondly, return to love, or in the words of the Beatles, love me do. God's love is a pattern for our love. The love that sent Jesus to the cross to take the punishment for our sins is both an example and an inspiration. Our response to that love is to be a love for God, which shows itself in complete submission to him. But the context here makes it clear the love we show God must also be a love for our fellow Christians and our fellow human beings. We cannot call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and say that we love God if we do not show love to all those around us. That's a point made in 1 John 4:19. We love because God first loved us. But if someone says, I love God, while at the same time hating his fellow Christians, he's a liar. He does not love a fellow Christian whom he has seen. He is incapable of loving God whom he has not seen. The love of Christians for one another is the distinguishing mark of a Christian community, as Jesus makes clear in John 13:35 and in Acts 2:4. It must include love for those around us. In some ways, it's easy to love other Christians who think and act and behave in the same way as we do, and who have sympathy for our faith and beliefs. But it's much more difficult to love those who taunt us or ignore us at work or in our families or among our neighbours. This is the love which Hosea speaks of here. That's what God wants of us. May we all be able to sing in the words of the Beatles song, Love Me Do, You Know I Love You. I'll always be true. So please love me do. Whoa, love me do. Because God loves us, he loves me do. So we must love our workmates, colleagues, friends and neighbours despite what they do and say to us. Thirdly, return to justice. Or in the words of the Beatles song, help. Help others. Justice or helping others is a prominent word in the Old Testament. The idea of it runs throughout the law of the peoples of Israel as they were given them by God through Moses. And we've already seen in our study of Hosea and in other books of the Old Testament, justice or help for others is a major theme of the prophet. A couple of decades ago, it seemed the Christian world was getting to grips with justice and help for our planet. There was a real drive for justice in our dealings with the world. There was more to being a Christian. There was more to proclaiming the gospel. There was more than just saving souls. But despite Jubilee 2000, Make Poverty History movements, the active campaigning of Tear Fund, Christian Aid and many others, and the call to be green ambassadors and better stewards of the earth's resources, or God's gift to us. I wonder if we and the Christians throughout the world are becoming a little more tired of, a little older, a little more disinterested in these matters, a little more suspicious of any effort to change the unjust structures of the world in which we live in. If we're placed here on God's earth, as God's people, to live lives which are holy and point towards God, we cannot just simply ignore the poverty, disease, filth, depravity and global warming, all the other problems that surround us. We have to help. We cannot afford to keep quiet about people who are oppressed, manipulated, persecuted. We cannot allow our Christian freedoms to be eroded. We cannot stand by and watch as our Western society gorges itself on the limited resources of this planet. We can't moan about how awful the planet is if we're not prepared to do something about it, if we're not prepared to stand up and be counted. We, all of us, have to get up and, in the words of the Beatles, help. That basically is what James is saying in James 2. What good is it, my friends, for someone to say he has faith when his actions do nothing to show it? Justice is love with action, to help. That is what God wants us to do. Remember Jesus' words in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor, to proclaim release for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to let the broken victims go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Now, we mustn't kid ourselves into thinking we can bring in God's kingdom all out by ourselves, nor because we may assume we can't do it all, we should do nothing. We have to believe in justice and help in others around the world. Or in the Beatles song, Help, we have to get our feet back on the ground and help others. when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate it, you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground, won't you please, please help me? Fourthly, return and wait on God continually. We need to please God, or in the words of the Beatles song, God is saying, please, please me. Remember, our holy lives, lives of the return to God, can never succeed if we just rely on our own resources and our own strength. We need constantly to be waiting on God, to please him, to pray to him, to listen to him, to respond to him. At times, that may seem tough. God may have appeared to have forgotten us, but God will never let us down. We need always to be trusting him for the strength and guidance to do his will and maintain that love and justice as he calls us. God isn't going to forget us. Given his love towards us, why should he? We need to be patient. He's done it before, he'll do it again. Let's keep reading the Bible, keep praying, keep seeking fellowship, and God will reveal himself to us, I promise you. It's waiting patiently while we get involved in love and justice. The transformed Christian is one who has allowed his attitudes to be shaped by God in such a way that he or she is able to show love to those around them, to act in a way that demonstrates a desire for justice and help, and to live so closely to God that he or she is constantly aware of his will. May it be true of us as we please God, as it says in the Beatles song, come on, 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 please, please me, whoa, yeah, like I please you. May this week, may we get back to God, as God says to us, love me do, and help the world, and please me in all you do and say. Amen.